What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your host, Armand. Follow me on Twitter at ArmandWakeUp, all one word. Do not follow me on Instagram or I will trip you down a flight of stairs. ClockRadioSpeakers.com, which is hosted by Tumblr. So if you are on Tumblr, follow us on that. Facebook.com/ClockRadioSpeakers. And of course, our official Twitter handle is CRS Podcast. Every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, we've changed the format of our show on The Pulse Radio. Their Twitter is the_PulseRadio. Their website is thepulse-radio.com. Or you can search the TuneIn app, search for DPS Radio/Pulse, and you will find the show. We basically play all, it's not a repeat of the show. We are basically playing the music, the notable music that Doc and I talk about on the week's episode. And speaking of Doc, what's up, man?
Whew. It's a marathon run recording for this week. What's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter, Doc_Beats, S not a Z. So this is the second episode this week. Episode number one, we just did a really dope interview with Thizzle. Talk about a whole bunch of things. That'll be up on the site, same time you're listening to this, so please make sure to check that out. But we couldn't just do an interview this week. We got a lot of music to talk about.
Yeah, man. You know, we for the people.
Yeah, there was some music I struggled through for the people.
I know that. Hey, man. You didn't have me listen to some struggle too, bro.
What you talking about?
You didn't have me listen to some struggle. I can't think of nothing, but you was like, yeah, check. No. So,
You just want to go right in? We got anything else we want to talk about?
Nah, man, let's do it, man. Let's go right in. I'm already warmed up.
Yeah, we don't have to ask each other how the week was, you know.
Nah, I already know everything was all good, et cetera, et cetera. So, let's talk about what happened today, early this morning, man. Why do they do these so early in the morning, Doc?
I thought it was last night.
Well, maybe it was last night.
Some of it was last night, some of it was this morning. We're talking Grammy nominations.
Yeah, Grammy nods. A disgruntled musician's nightmare.
Why would anybody be disgruntled about this?
Because they're not on it. And I'm not even talking about it. And I'm not even talking about like notable artists. I've just seen so much hate and disdain from like SoundCloud rappers. Like, come on, man. Like, let them, these nominees, Doc, and you know, let me know if you agree with me or not, but these nominees are not like headache inducing. This is a pretty good selection of music.
Yeah. You know, it's the Grammys. So you're going to get a mix of one hit wonders. You're going to get some of the stuff that old people like, you know, and you're going to get some of the stuff that, you know, at least in my opinion, actually deserves to be there. But yeah, so I wanted to go and take a look. One thing to note about the Grammys that everybody always gets confused about. So the time period for the Grammys,
yes,
is October to September,
right?
Which is idiotic.
Yeah, it's a little off.
Especially since the awards aren't even till February.
And especially, you know, especially with something like hip hop, where a lot of the better records come out at the end of the year, you kind of want those to be.
Yeah, like everything that Drake did on Take Care, that's this Grammys.
Yeah.
Right, that's just weird.
And that album is completely, you know, fizzed out. It's run its course.
Sure. You know, we got some Watch the Throne stuff on here.
Yeah. Who's listening to Watch the Throne? You probably are.
I was going to say, you can't see me raising my hand right now.
But, you know. I was like, you probably want
to watch it. Watch the Throne, man. That's, yeah. Anyway.
I got to hear it again.
But, so that's part of the problem, too. And the other part of the problem is, especially when it comes to some of the nominees, you're going to see, some things get nominated just because it's a combination of artists that people recognize. Like, I'll give you an example. There is only one reason why this Young Jeezy I Do got nominated for Best Rap Performance. It's because it says featuring Jay-Z and Andre 3000. That's it. That's, you can't tell me. in any level, that's whether it's a critical level or a commercial level, like that was not one of the, you would not nominate that as top five best rap performance.
I mean, would you nominate, I don't know, man, I'm seeing SW Vegan R&B nominations.
Yeah. Oh, you've been talking like way back?
No, man, this year.
Wait, who? What?
SWV? Them. 18, best traditional R&B performance, If You Only Knew. If I Only Knew, y'all came out with new music this year.
Notice that word, traditional. This is Baker to keep racking up nods.
Hey, that Tyrese remake was dope, man.
Listen.
Nope. Nita Baker. No one needs a Baker slander on this Listen, show.
Anita Baker got a history, dope music, right?
Incredible music. She raised me.
But when you talk about R&B performances.
Is this just something they set up for Beyonce to win?
You think she's a lock to win Love on Top?
Yeah, I mean, who else are you gonna I think Melanie Fiona is beautiful, but she makes scorned woman soundtracks. I don't know.
Well, what's interesting is look at the next. So best R&B song. That's an interesting group.
It's a very interesting group. That's a very wide range of
artists. I think Miguel gets that.
Miguel might get that. Miguel's album's dope.
I love this.
There's only three. Go ahead.
Listen to this. There's best urban contemporary album.
Yeah.
Which is Chris Brown's Fortune, Miguel's Kaleidoscope Dream, and Frank Ocean's Channel Orange. Then you have Best R&B Album, where you get like R. Kelly, Write Me Back, you get Tamia, you get Tyrese, Anthony Hamilton, the Glassbird
Experience. I think that's kind of like what we talked about, man. I think R&B is kind of spread, like separated. So you've got the Trey Song, Chris Brown, Miguel types, and then you've got Robert Glasper, Anthony Hamilton, R. Kelly, Tamia. I'm not gonna say the last nominee.
Yo, wait. Tyrese is signed to something named Voltron Records,
and with a Z.
With a Z,
not an S.
Yo. Oh my goodness. But here's the problem, right? If you're like looking at, like, if you have two Grammys side by side, and you showed them off to people, and one said Best R&B Album, and the other one said Best Urban Contemporary Album, which one sounds more prestigious?
Urban Contemporary?
Best R&B Album. People don't call it Urban Contemporary. They call it R&B.
Urban Contemporary means black people who make commercially viable music that white people can listen to. Urban means black. Contemporary means white people. And R&B means black. So whenever Justin Timberlake decides to drop his album next year, he can go into the urban contemporary category.
So I'm pretty sure Frank Ocean and Chris Brown, those are African American dudes. Like, what? I don't understand this. I don't understand the dividing line. Channel Orange is an R&B album.
Channel Orange is an R&B album. Is there a pop song on there?
Well, I mean, he got some records. This is a good transition. He got some records nominated for Album of the Year. I mean, he got some big nominees, like
a Record of the Year, right?
Thinking About You, Record of the Year, Channel Orange, Album of the Year. He didn't get anything. He didn't get a nominee for Song of the Year, which is too bad. But
yeah, because the writing on his album is really good. So I'm actually shocked he didn't get a lot of those.
He got nominated for Best New Artist.
Hey, Pop, this is probably his coming out party. No pun intended.
I see what you did there. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah. I think he, out of those six, I'm not surprised if he wins four or five. I'm not surprised.
Four or five?
Have you ever seen an artist on the Grammys get nominated for like 6, 7, 8 who leads Grammys and doesn't leave with at least half of them?
Here's the problem. You see, there's a lot of people who got, for whatever reason, the Black Keys,
yeah,
Fun, Jay-Z, Frank Ocean, and Kanye all had six. I'm sorry. So one of the guys from the Black Keys has six. The other one has five. And then Miguel got five. Like there's a bunch of, there's nobody who got like 12, right? Nobody had like, you know, when Alicia Keys had her breakout year, when Adele like, last year, when Lauren Hill had a big breakout. Like, nobody's, like, out in front. There's, like, a whole bunch of people.
True.
I don't know if... Yeah, this is an interesting...
Well, there has to be a couple.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean...
Because usually the year that... Who was it the other year? Was it Arcade Fire? Some band that... There's always, like, a rock band, a contemporary band or something like that that kind of teeters... Like, they always have, like, their coming out party. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Mumford & Sons wins a bunch.
Mumford & Sons is one of the biggest rock bands right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they knocked it out.
Really interesting stuff. And then so I need to go back to nominees. So we talk about the hip-hop ones? What do we got?
Hip-hop. A little bit.
So.
Okay, so we start with rap performance.
Oh, my goodness.
HYFR.
Yep.
Hypher. Is that you who called it Hypher?
I hope so, because that's a great thing to call it.
That's definitely one of the best videos of the year. The video was fantastic.
Ball so hard.
Ball so hard.
Daughters.
Daughters. That's the I don't know, man. Does Nas get a Grammy this year?
I think Jay and Kanye take that, right?
Over Mercy and I Do. Yeah, Jay and Kanye, how are they going to, it was funny, I was reading it today. How are they going to announce that? Are they going to purposely get like two black people to like announce that category?
I hope they get Gwyneth Paltrow to announce it.
All right, because she'll have no trouble saying that whatsoever. She'll start rapping the song and everything.
I hope when they announce this category, assuming that they actually televise it, because remember.
I was just about to say that, yep.
A lot of them don't get televised. I hope if they do, I hope they need like, even if it's like something you can only watch online, I need like a dedicated backstage camera on the dude whose job it is to hit the 7-second delay button. Like, you know, I want like is he like getting nervous when they talk about this category? Like, I don't know how that works, but I'll tell you what.
Is he like sweat? Is he sweating? Did he pop a Molly? Is he sweating? Woo.
Oh, so you had to bring in Trinidad James.
Sorry. No, but is he sitting there like with his finger? Is his finger like shaking right over like this big red button and there's sweat pouring down his face and he can't reach for his handkerchief to wipe the sweat off his face because it's going to distract him and they're going to let him get away with the word and he's going to lose his job?
You just got really descriptive on them, man.
Yeah, I'm a writer.
You were listen to you.
I'm a writer of writers. You're 7:30, I'm 9:11.
Oh, man. Anyway, because listen, these old people, when they hear Mercy, they're not voting for Mercy.
No.
They're
like, did Kanye do a song this year? Let's nominate. He came out with an album, right? What song was that? Oh, Mercy? Okay.
Well, yeah, but unfortunately, you know. Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting one. Rap song collaboration. I think Jay's walking away with it in some way. Well, I don't know. Cherry Worm, maybe. I'll tell you who's not winning it. John Legend and Ludacris are not winning that category. And Flo Rida is not winning that category.
You don't think Flo Rida's winning that?
I think No Church in the Wild wins that one.
Yeah. Shout out to every single commercial who licensed that.
Listen, that Dodge commercial, when that comes on, I actually like that commercial now because I love that beat. And then we got Best Rap Song. Okay. So that's interesting. So Hypher, as you so eloquently put it, gets nominated for Best Rap Performance, but they went ahead and nominated The Motto for Best Rap Song.
So what's the difference between Best Song and Best Performance?
Best Song is about it's about the songwriting.
Okay.
Wait, I'm sorry. Young, Wild, and Free got nominated for Best Song?
Yeah.
Man, listen.
Yeah.
Did anybody remember that project existed? Like,
Mac and Devin, it's on Netflix, and I'm like, I want to watch it, and I never do. I don't do well with weed movies.
You got Mercy nominated there. You got Lotus Flower Bomb.
Yeah, Lotus Flower Bomb.
Daughters again. Ball So Hard again. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so who takes that?
I'll say this much. Wouldn't surprise me if they split. What they'd like to do in a lot of these categories, if you have a lot of the same track spots, that if they'll split them. Sometimes you'll see a split.
So Jay and Kanye win one, and maybe Nas wins the other.
Yeah, maybe Daughters.
Yeah. Nas has to win one. He's got to win one.
Oh, man. Can I just tell you how upset I was when I just scrolled down and looked at everybody nominated for Best Rap Album?
Why?
So let's just go back. First of all, Def Jam, they are popping bottles today.
I told you. I said Def Jam had a good year.
Well, I mean, good is relative. So, But so, Best Rap Album, again, this is October of last year to September this year. So, Take Care.
Yep.
Food and Liquor too.
Absolutely.
That's funny. Life is Good.
Okay.
Undone.
Okay.
God Forgives, I Don't.
Okay.
And Boats. That's all. We call it a Boats.
Just Boats.
Boats. Okay. Based on a true story, your man, Dos Cadenas.
Yeah. Dos Cadenas. Oh, man. That is wonderful.
I think this is Drake and Nas, right?
It's got to be Drake and Nas. I don't know, man. The Roots have to not win. They're always like the underdog category, which is weird because they are bigger now than they've ever been.
And Undone, I mean, that album was pretty good.
Undone was a good album.
And look, truth be like, so, you know, 2 Chainz, his album, it is what it is. God Forgives, I Don't, not bad, obviously. Life is Good, good album. Take Care, we thought that was really good.
Still very, very good. Well, they need to nominate Take Care 1.5. We need to be there.
We going to be on the red carpet?
Yo, son. Kairos wins a Grammy next year, gets nominated. All of y'all are coming out.
Oh, but you got to dress up in your Trinidad James finery. Like,
oh, I'm cooning it up. I am cooning it up. Are you serious? I'm not going to shave my beard. I'm not going to get a haircut. I'm not going to do nothing.
Are you going to freeway it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to put my picture into a bunch of, they're going to put my picture on a bunch of Photoshop, my picture into a bunch of like current events, American history. You already did freeway this year? Did you see that?
I remember. Right. Don't worry. But I want to ask you, sir. I want to ask you about what the Grammy calls the gospel genre.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk gospel. Let's talk Jesus. Let me scroll down a little bit. Well, go ahead.
I'm gonna shock you on this one. Mary Mary was nominated.
No.
I know. Never happened before.
Yeah.
Once a year, white people get to go. Oh, remember Mary Mary?
Mary Mary. Mary Mary's always nominated. Marvin Sapp is getting to that point where he's always nominated. Why is his name Block of Israel? Is always nominated. It's always the same people that you see, which is ironic because everybody feels like they're called from the Lord to make music. So then why are the same 6 artists? I don't know. Anyway, what question would you like to ask me, sir?
I have one. We'll start with one question, which is, if you asked 100 people, and I realize this is an outrageous question to ask because you could never do this. If you asked 100 people on the street to describe what gospel music sounded like, it would sound what I guess is probably now referred to as old school gospel music.
Traditional gospel organs, choirs, music. Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Right. But the Grammys, they're sort of bundling in here what they call contemporary Christian music.
Yeah, CCM. Mm-hmm.
CCM. So what is the benchmark for being in the gospel / CCM category?
Benchmark gospel.
In other words, like how do they determine? Because clearly it's not that there's a particular like sound. Like it's not like, oh, this is a hip hop song because it sounds a certain way.
No, it's definitely changed. Gospel basically is just another word for black. But gospel now, there's 2 different types of gospel. So there is your traditional, you know, choir. Kirk Franklin is definitely now considered traditional gospel. So his style of music where he's writing, he's composing, he's arranging, he does his ad-libs in between the choir singing. Like that's a James Fortune. So, you know, they're nominated for Best Gospel Album. Then you've got your CCM, or you've got your Israel Anubri, your Israel Houghton, who's kind of in the middle. He sounds kind of CCM, but he can do R&B. He does you know, a little reggae, a little Latin. Like, he does a lot of different things. You've got Marvin Sapp, who's very much traditional, choir behind him, or a group, a small group behind him. He's the lead vocalist. But then you got somebody like Casting Crowns, Toby Mac, like, they're more so, they sound like, what's the name of that group? Like Creed or something like that. Like, ooh. I know how some people are. Like, I know how, like, a lot of people are.
Like Creed. White people problems with guitars. Like,
yeah, but it's like, not,
I'm making an anthem.
Yeah, it's kind of sort of like that. White people problems with guitars. Kind of sort of, yeah. Like, you've got that, but then you've also, you know, I would say that it's not as depressing. A lot of gospel music to me is very depressing. And I haven't heard a lot of depressing CCM. Maybe that's just out of ignorance, but most of the CCM that I hear is very uplifting and encouraging, while a lot of gospel is like, woe is me. But that's the difference.
All right. Then the one last thing I want to ask about this category is, so an artist that we talked about on the show, Lecrae, gets nominated for Best Gospel Album with Gravity.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Wiz. Shout out JR. A lot of people I know who worked on that album, man. That is a great thing. Congratulations.
Are they going out? Like, are they?
I don't know. I got to talk to Wiz, see if he's going. He's probably not, knowing him, but I would. I'd be there.
I'd definitely be there. I saw a little bit of reaction online in the sort of the...
No. Where did you see the reaction, Doc? Because you got to specify.
I saw the nominee, and based off of the previous podcast that we've done talking about Lecrae, first place I checked was, I want to see what Rapzilla is saying about this.
Worst mistake ever. Worst mistake ever. I love Steve. I love Exodus. And I love Chad. I love the people who run the site and who are part of the site. But their comment section, oh my God, I could really go off for about 10 minutes.
I'm not even trying to derail it. I'm just saying, I saw... The sentiment seemed split. It seemed, on one hand, people were like, hey, you know, that's great. On the other hand, we had a lot of people saying, nah, man, it should have been Best Hip-Hop Album.
Well, what you have to realize is that a lot of people, I'm going to break this down, break this all the way down, son. So basically, what a lot of Christian, they're going to, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to say it.
Uh-oh. I'm getting you in trouble today.
No. You know what? At this point, I don't care anymore. If it's going to get me in trouble, it's going to get me in trouble. But I have to say it. All
right.
So a lot of art, or a lot of Christians who wants to give their life up to the Lord, a lot of them stop listening. They come from, you know, a hip hop background. They stop listening to it. Or if they do, or if they stop listening to it, they only listen to it every once in a while sparingly. And they don't. And I'm not going to say all of them, but a good percentage of them only listen for the bad stuff. So they have something that validates their complaints and says, you know what? I'm not missing anything, because I see some black guy with dreads, some skinny, tall black guy with dreads, cooning on TV, dancing. I can't understand what he's saying because he has a southern drawl, and this is horrible. And he's wearing all black, so he worships the devil. Blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to go on YouTube. They're going to type up 2 Chainz Illuminati, and that's going to, like, validate their suspicions or their quote unquote discernment, because they're going to make it spooky spiritual. But, like, if you actually educate them, I would dare say that a lot of them have not heard Take Care. They haven't heard Undone. They hear, like, they haven't heard Life is Good. Some of them have. And they still make that decision. That's cool. And I'm talking more so towards the ignorant people who only listen to Christian hip hop. And Reach Records and Lecrae and Trip Lee are just like, oh, they are like the only thing that they listen to. So if that's all you listen to, and you're being told and you're convinced that everything else in hip hop is the worst thing in the world, of course you're going to listen to it and have a biased perception of it. So of course they're not just satisfied with gospel album, because they're looking at it like, well, the gospel section is not going to be on TV. You know, we're not going to see it. This isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. It was the same reason why at the BET Awards, people weren't happy with Lecrae being in the cypher, because he was in a cypher with mediocre MCs, as opposed to he should have been on the last cypher with Slaughterhouse and all them. Like, they want them at the best, but baby steps, man. A Christian hip hop. If you understand where quote unquote Christian hip hop came from, my introduction to it was Grape Tree Records with the fake No Limit covers, and they all rap like Mac 10, and like, it was just really bad and really corny. So to go from that all the way up until you're nominated for a Grammy, like, come on, man. Like, you have to be happy with that.
Okay. I'm just glad we cleared the air on that.
You got to be happy with that. And if you're not happy with that, there's something wrong with you. Because maybe something is nominated for Best Hip Hop Album next year. And maybe it's your fault that you, because you put Christian hip hop in a category when it's not a category and it's not a subgenre. So you can't get mad when you box something and you present it as a boxed item, and then get mad when other people box it up. And this is not going at Lecrae or anything like that, because they definitely did not treat this album like a Christian hip hop album. I'm talking about the people, the people who consume this. Mm. Your boxes are limiting these artists, not them. You. I could really go off. I really could. I'm good. I'm gonna chill. I'm gonna relax. What else would you like to talk about, Doc?
I just wanted to point out, your man Salaam Remy is nominated for Producer of the Year.
Producer of the Year. I saw that. He's up against Diplo, right?
Diplo, the dude from the Black Keys.
Yeah.
The producer of their stuff. Jeff Basker.
Jeff Basker, yeah.
Who he's done a lot of work with Kanye. He did one of my favorite Alicia Keys songs that I know you love, Try Sleeping with a Broken Heart. Done a bunch of stuff with Beyonce. And this year, his big thing was he did a lot of work on Fun's record. Specifically, of course, We Are Young.
He did that?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
He goes back. He did, you know, he helped produce Run This Town. He did he produced the title track, the documentary for The Game. Yep. He helped out all over 808s and Heartbreaks, all over Kid Cudi's first album.
Wow.
He did some stuff on Lana Del Rey's album this year.
Yep.
Oh, man. He did some stuff with Taylor Swift.
Did he?
He's making money, man.
Wow. Shout out to Salaam Remy.
No, he not Salaam Remy. This is Jeff Basker.
Oh, Jeff Basker. I'm sorry.
It was all Jeff Basker. My bad.
Okay, Jeff Basker.
Yeah,
okay.
No, Salaam. He had, I mean, Salaam basically, you know, he's Girl on Fire. Life is Good, all that stuff. Sins of My Father, some Amy Winehouse stuff. Yeah, I think this is probably Diplo, right?
He's the bigger name, I'd say.
Yeah, he's got the big name. All right. So, anything else you want to say about the Grammys?
No, I think we need closer to it when we do a
When we get closer to the Grammys, we're definitely gonna talk about it.
Yeah, we gotta do predictions like the week of.
All right, so we got three projects we need to cover, definitely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So right after last week's episode, your man Wizard.
Wizard Calibur.
His album drops here.
Yep. ONIFC.
Only a Nice Person in First Class. No, that's not what it stands for. We've talked about Wiz on the podcast a bunch before, and he's got an interesting career now. So, yeah. You know, he's one of these guys who puts out, even when he's not doing an album, he's still got these other sort of sides to his sound that he'll put out an album to sort of cater to. You know, Taylor Aladiche sounds one way, and then, you know, Rolling Papers sounded a certain way. And I didn't know exactly what to expect on this. We can talk about some key tracks that we thought were interesting, but overall, did ONIFC, did this album, was this what you expected?
You know what's funny, man? If this was switched with Taylor Allardyce,
I like calling it Allardyce, but you know.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm not mad at this album.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's definitely better than Rolling Papers.
It's better than Rolling Papers, but there's nothing on here that's an obvious smash like Black and Yellow.
Yeah. Yeah, but at this point, are you? I think that's the reason kind of why he did Cabin Fever, Taylor All the Dice, and all those joints. Because I think he was going to say, look, because look at how much Work Hard, Play Hard sticks out. Like a sore thumb, that record sticks out.
It doesn't really stick out that bad.
I think this was like, hey, record label, you want me to do Black and Yellow Part 2? Here you go.
Well, it's Benny Blanco and Stargate. It's the same people.
So I think obviously this was on some like, you know what? I'm going to show you that what I do will actually work. And he's projected to go number one this week.
But then the second single, Remember You with The Weeknd. It's a Weeknd song.
And it's buried at the end of the album.
Buried in track 16.
Which means?
Look, Wiz is smoking a lot of weed. I wouldn't draw any. I wouldn't pretend to say that there's a plan here. He's got a 9-minute song produced by Will.i.am. All bets are off right now. Like
I think the song is dope.
Well, so let's talk about the songs we like. I think the first part of it is dope. I don't really like the second part of the song. But I thought No Limit. I thought that's a good song.
Yeah, that song was dope.
I like the song with Pharrell.
I love the song with Pharrell. The song with Pharrell was dope.
Pharrell is quietly doing these weird, dope, unusual, but not like Neptune's unusual, but like just he. I don't know what's going on, but like hit, all of a sudden the span of like the sort of breadth of beats that he's doing is all over the place.
Yeah.
This beat is really dope.
Yeah, beat is dope.
I don't like
Amber Rose at the end.
Well, yeah, she's unnecessary, but
and it's funny because I liked her on Never Been.
Yeah, she worked on Never Been.
Yeah, she worked on Never Been. This was kind of like, all right, I got to put my woman on the album. Where? And she just, it was just a little too much. But, you know, it's all good.
Bluffin's all right.
Bluffin's dope. Paper Bond is okay.
Paper Bond's okay.
The Bluff with Cameron, I like Cam's verse on there.
I don't like Cam on that type of beat.
Would you still want him over like three-fourths Heatmaker beats?
Yes, I do actually. And but no, he, you know what it is? He sounds old.
He does sound old.
He's getting old. Let's see what else.
He's like Raekwon, like where it's like, hey, guess who I got on my album? The guy that I grew up on.
Oh, man.
Cameron. Like, you know, like I said, there's a generation of kids. I'll never forget that story as long as I live. I want to meet that guy. Columbus is small enough to where if I put it out on Twitter, like, hey, the guy who at the Kendrick Lamar concert said that he grew up on, I really mean it, and it came out when he was like in the third grade. I want to meet that guy, and I want to sit down and talk to him.
When we talk about Game's album next week,
yeah,
we could talk about that some more.
Oh man,
we're not even getting there.
Okay.
There was some stuff on here that really kind of disappointed me.
You don't like? Do you like Fall Asleep?
No.
Okay.
It's a weird song.
It is weird.
I feel like that hook might grow on me a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah, the hook gets stuck in my head.
When I saw It's Nothing produced by Drummer Boy and 2 Chainz, I really needed like ignorance on a higher level. Like, I needed that expensive sounding Drummer Boy beat.
Nah, I think Wiz picked a bunch of weed beats.
Yeah, and again, like, just the way it opens up, you know? Like, I mean, because Bluffin is Drummer Boy. That doesn't sound like a Drummer Boy beat.
Nah, but do you want Drummer Boy with, like, the drums and the horns and stuff?
If Wiz wants to rap like he's awake, I mean, why not?
Wiz just raps about how much money he made at a show and what he spent it on.
My favorite line on this is on the song Time. He's like, just sticking to the script, no new lines. Yep, that pretty much sums up the entire Wiz Khalifa experience right now.
You listen to it for the beats and yeah.
Can I ask you about Lola Monroe?
Yeah.
Is she just purposely trying to do her best Nicki Minaj impersonation? She sounds exactly like Nicki Minaj on this.
Old Nicki.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not mad at it.
Because we're not getting that anymore.
We're not getting old Nicki from Nicki. We're getting, you know, Freedom Nicki. Even though the drums on that song are dope. Yeah, I'm not mad at Lola. Too Juicy J. He included everybody from Taylor Gang on the album. Something that Ross did not do that we said he should have did with.
Wait, there's two Juicy J songs?
Yeah. The Plan and Medicated.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. Medicated is all right.
Medicaid's okay. The Plan is cool.
The Plan is cool. You know what I needed on this?
Hmm.
I needed the producers that he used on some of his mixtapes before.
He did. Like Sledrin and all them are on this, aren't they?
I need more Cardo.
Cardo's, yeah. Cardo's dope.
Cardo produces the intro. And that's it.
Really?
Yeah, but there's some dude named ID Labs who does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 5 or 6 tracks on here.
Yeah, ID Labs was on, he was on Taylor Allerdice, but nah, more Cardo. You're right, more Cardo.
More importantly, he just needs to hire Currency to pick his beats for him.
Yeah.
Overall, this is better than Rolling Papers.
Yep.
But it's not really. This is not going to my top 10.
No, it's not going to top 10. I'm wondering what it does. I'm wondering what it does for his audience. And like we were talking about with the show with Dizzle, when he was saying that if he ever did a mixtape, he would want to put his all into it. Now, I think that Wiz put his all into Taylor Allerdice because that's a really good mixtape.
But I think for Wiz, I think these are just like different. I made this point on past shows. Like, I think this is just meant for different audiences, right? Like, he's trying to loop the people back in who know him because, I mean, he wants his fans to buy it, obviously. But I think he's also, some of this stuff is also, you know, targeted to, for the people who are like, oh yeah, I remember Black and Yellow. Like, yeah. His fans are going to download the mixtapes and they're going to go see him tour based off mixtape records. Like, that's not a problem. But, you know, whether we like it or not, Black and Yellow established a commercial precedent for him that is difficult.
Yeah.
But
that's difficult for anybody.
It is, and you do what you got to do, but you know, like there's some songs in here that you could tell they're trying to find a single like up in it. The, you know, Jim Johnson on that beat. That's not an amazing single, but I can definitely foresee Urban Radio playing that.
Yeah.
You know, the song with Akon, maybe a single? Like they want it to be a single.
The fact that Akon is on it.
You think that's enough? No, not happening?
That's a turn off.
Well,
Are people still listening to Akon?
Man, like there's a 50 Cent song with Adam Levine right now. All bets are off.
Oh, man. So,
I'm trying to think what. But yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying in terms of, yeah, the thing about mixtape, it's interesting. I mean, do you think he's just put out too much music this year?
Yeah. And again, Taylor Allerdice was really good. I hold that in a high regard. So
I don't think he needed Cabin Fever 2.
He didn't.
Because there were some tracks on there that probably would have been okay here.
Again, what I'm going off of is the new sentiment that if your song doesn't have a video, it doesn't exist. And you and I have talked about this. I'd say there were at least 4 records on Taylor Allerdice that should have got a video.
Oh, man, we should have got pushed. I need to go back and re-listen to that when we do our end of the year. That might sneak in.
Definitely snuck in on mine. Definitely snuck in on mine. But
isn't it kind of crazy that Juicy J is probably doing better than Wiz Khalifa right now?
Man.
And more importantly, Juicy J raps like he cares more than Wiz Khalifa right now.
Yeah.
When Wiz raps, it feels like we interrupted him while he was out on the balcony smoking with Amber. Like he was bothered to come in the studio. Juicy J, I feel like, maybe this is me projecting it, but I feel like he knows, like, because he's been around so long, like he has a moment right now.
Yeah, he understands the trend.
You know, I feel like he knows he's got to do this, you know?
Yeah.
But anything else you want to say about your man, Wizard?
Nah, I'm good, man. We can move on.
You want to talk real quick about Pac Div?
Yeah, let's talk Pac Div. Shout out to...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because we've talked about Pac Div on a long time ago on Clock Radio speakers.
Yeah, we've had Jesus, what was that mixtape that had what was it called? Super Negro, Superhero?
Oh yeah, that was dope. And we were like, was it Mania?
That was Mania. And we were like, put that out as a single, and nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. That's kind of what I want to talk about with this album.
I had no idea this was an actual album.
Yeah, this is an album.
I thought this was just another mixtape.
Nah, this is an album.
That says everything you need to know about hip hop right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay. So let's talk. It's called GMB. I think the initials stand for
It's each of their first names.
Yeah. So I had a conversation with my DJ and my man Harvey. Shout out to Harvey about this the other day. And before I get into it, let me just remember there's a guy who follows me on Twitter. I can't think of his name for anything, but he listens to the show. And he'll pop up every once in a while and he'll tweet me and ask about Pac Div. So I told him that we were going to talk about the last album. I never got around to listening to it. So I did listen to this. So shout out to you. I really don't remember his name, but shout out to you. So in 2000 and I don't know, eight is when, or was it seven? I'd say seven or eight was when blog rap was at an all time high, right?
What do you mean by blog rap?
Blog rap were artists who were strictly getting all of their buzz strictly off of Two Dope Boys, Not Right, You Heard That New, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I think it's just evolved a little bit because I think some of that still happens to a certain degree.
It does kind of, sort of, but it was like a big deal. This was right after mixtapes were pretty much, DJ mixtapes were pretty much dead.
So like, this is like the cool kids.
Yes. Cool Kids, Charles Hamilton. Yeah, I mean, this is what I want to get into because people were saying that Charles basically squandered his opportunity because, you know, the Punch and, you know, the blog and the Dilla thing. And
listen, dude was obsessed with Sonic the Hedgehog.
He was.
That's all you got to say. It was never happening for Charles Hamilton. Never.
No, but let me explain why, aside from all of that, and I think Pac Div ran into this problem, is that you were getting this new generation of kids who were doing what everybody does now. It became cool to make music on your computer because, you know, when me and you were doing it, we were called Netsies and all this other Netsies, nerdy stuff.
Yo, I forgot about that term.
Yeah, like when, it was just...
When Little Brother came out and Ninth Wonder was like, yeah, I use Fruity Loops.
Yeah. And right. That was like the biggest deal in the world. Like
the infamous story of when he did the beat on the Black album and he had to go rush to go buy a copy of Fruity Loops, didn't even have his own stuff in it. Because the studio wasn't prepared for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right? Just Blaze was one of the, like, Just Blaze was, he used Logic to do stuff like stick to the script. And that was blowing people's minds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, took a while.
Took a while. So, you've got these rappers who were pretty much making software music. And, you know, they were just kind of putting it out and getting love on sites here. And then all of a sudden, boom. The labels start paying attention to these blogs because, you know, they're not only are they talking about Charles Hamilton and Pac Div, they're also talking about, what was the name of that other group from Cali? I can't think of their name. I know one of the guys' names was Thursday. I can't think of their name. But anyway, they're also, blogs are also posting Drake. And, you know, Kendrick Lamar was even getting some blog love back then. But I think what happened, labels started paying attention. Labels, of course, being major labels, they were behind and they didn't understand the blogs, and the blogs didn't understand the major labels. So I think artists like Pac Div and Charles Hamilton were kind of like the sacrificial lambs for us to get the format that we're still working towards today, because they signed to all these record labels. And, you know, Pac Div's story is that I forgot who they were signed to. I don't know if it was A&M. I forgot who they were signed to. But they basically sat there.
Yeah.
And they had singles. So there wasn't an idea of, like, Ross now, even though Ross is, you know, has two major label deals, he still works as if he's an independent artist. He has his own team. He uses his own resources. He shoots videos for every, you know, every song on the album, even if it's not going to go on MTV, MTV Jams, et cetera, et cetera. VH1 Soul. They just shoot him strictly for Worldstar and YouTube. And he's fine off of that. What Pac Div ended up doing or not doing is that a lot of those songs that they had on Church League Champions and Mania, and like those should have been treated, like Dizzle said, like albums, and they weren't. And they ended up squandering a lot of those records that were obvious hit records.
So many possible hit records on those.
Yeah, shows. They had a lot. I mean, Mayor.
Oh, I forgot about Mayor.
Roland. They had hits. Like bona fide. So when I see, you know, your Trinidad James and your 2 Chainz, and I see all these people with these big, like, SOBs, BB King shows, I'm always thinking about artists like Pac Div, like, dang, had they monopolized off of the music that they were making, would they be there? Would they be, you know, on a major label? Would they be on Interscope? Or would they still be doing, you know, pretty much what they're doing now? So
yeah, so this is this album is not appropriate for December.
Not at all.
I'm listening to this and I'm like, man, I need my windows down right now.
Yep.
I need it to be about 50 degrees warmer than it is out here in Connecticut right now. Like it.
Yep.
And this album got pushed back a lot.
Did it?
Yeah. There's like 4 singles from this.
I didn't know that.
Like October, then November, and it sort of kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And honestly, I haven't really heard much about this at all.
At all. I haven't either.
And I think it's kind of unfortunate because honestly, like, first of all, it's 17 tracks, which is too much. But if you cut this, you cut 5-6 tracks off this, you're getting somewhere.
Mm.
There's a lot of stuff on here I like.
Okay.
I like The Return. Oddly enough, the 2 Scoop DeVille beats aren't that amazing to me.
Which 2 was Scoop DeVille?
Bank.
Okay.
And Debo.
Yeah, I'm cool off of both of those.
I like Bank. It feels kind of, again, it feels kind of like the Cool Kids to me.
Yeah, Sneaker Box is a super cool kid.
Yes, it is. And ironically...
so is Black Acura.
Yes, it is.
And kind of sort of Cross Trainers.
And out of all those, Chuck English actually produces Slow.
And those are, oh my God.
Slow is dope.
I don't remember.
That's a single to me. Dope hook, dope song. I like that one. But you're right, Sneaker Boxes, that's like Cool Kids 2.0.
Yeah, that's super Cool Kids.
Truth is, I like Truth a lot.
Yeah, that's, Truth is dope.
That's the single that's out right now.
I like Black Acura.
I don't like Mac Miller.
Yeah, he's rapping really weird on there. Like,
go ahead.
The beat is dope. I was saying the beat is dope, but he's kind of rapping like the Cool Kids.
Yeah. Automatic.
And Mac Miller came from that blog era that I was talking about
earlier. A little bit.
Industry Plant?
Listen.
Do we need to talk about that one?
No, we can't even talk about that right now. Right. Automatic. That's a real stereotypical Pac Div song.
Yeah.
I don't like Cross Trainers.
I don't either.
I don't like Kendrick on it at all.
Kendrick phoned that in like crazy.
He's like off beat.
Nah, he's not off beat. He's rappity rapping, man. Like, I don't want at this point, I don't want to hear a Kendrick verse where he's just rapping.
Yeah,
You are now a storyteller. You are now a storyteller. You are now Slick Rick. You are Ice Cube.
Nah, he doesn't have to be just that, but. Because like when we talk again, you know, next week we'll talk about Games album. I like his verse on Games. Like this is not an A or even a B plus Kendrick verse.
No, but I'm saying like you gotta give, and that's the thing about Games record. Records have themes on them, have central themes. Most of them have like a central theme in the song. This doesn't really have a theme. You gotta give Kendrick some sort of topic to go off of.
Mm.
He's a topic rapper, and that's not a diss at all. That's dope. He's a topic rapper, but you just say, yeah, we just kind of rapping. There's some artists that you just can't say, yeah, we're just rapping, because they're just going to say whatever. They're going to Earl sweatshirt it.
F Y'all with Corrupt and Battlecat is really dope.
I got to hear that again.
That should have been that to me. That should have been like a buzz single. My problem is really the sequencing with this. Like the first like 10 tracks or so, I'm really good with, and then there's like a lull. Like sort of the back, like Automatic, Cross Trainers, Debo. Like some of these songs start to sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
But then it picks back up to me. Like I don't even know how you pronounce this. Track 16, La Seniga, whatever this is. That beat is really dope. And then It's All Love, that's track 17, but it feels like it should be track 2. It's upbeat.
Yeah.
Sunny. Like, it, you know, but more importantly, like, I, you know, we talk about albums having, like they feel like a season.
Yep.
You know, this is not winter rap. Like, I know they're from Cali, and I know there's no such thing as winter in California, but, like... Man, I just can't listen to this right now. Like when I was listening to this, I was thinking, man, at some point I should do a best of Pac Div, and I was like, but I'm not gonna listen to that in December. But like in May, a best of Pac Div might be really dope.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I'm gonna try to get past that because there's some really good songs in here, but I don't know. It's just not time. It's just not the right time. It's hit me at a weird spot, you know?
I think it's what artists do. And I'm even doing this with Kairos. It's like, you're sitting on records for so long, and you know that these records are hit records, and you know that these records are going to do well, but you go back and you listen to it, and you're like, man, I could do better than this. Or you make more contacts, you network with a better person, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, snap, I can get Kendrick Lamar on a record. Let's do something with him so we can have that type of record on there. Let's have records that I can feel excited about that maybe, you know, if the album's supposed to come out in June and it comes out in December or November, or it came out in December, you know, that's like 6 months. It's 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
You as an artist get bored and you're like, I could do better than that. I know I can.
Listen, next week we're going to have a really good conversation on this podcast about sitting on records.
Uh-oh. Which one are we talking about?
Because it's going to tie in with the album we're going to talk about next week.
Okay. All right. You're going to lead that, son.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
We could talk about that, but you're right. You know, it's funny. I'm glad you brought back, like, talking about that the era of rappers that Pac Div came from. I don't know why Pac Div's on a label.
I don't know either.
It's not that.
I think that's the thing to do.
I agree. I feel like they're still from that era where that's what you did.
Yeah.
Right? Like doing your own like indie thing and getting on blogs wasn't supposed to be the end of it. That was supposed to springboard you to get that major label deal.
Right.
Right. Whereas Pac Div, they should have singles. They should have these warm weather songs ready to go when that first heat wave snaps in across the East Coast.
Yeah, like, once April hits, they need to be locked and loaded.
Yeah, like, but I don't need 17 tracks from Pac Div. Like, I don't.
So you want EPs and
mixtapes? I want EPs and singles.
Gotcha.
EPs, singles, go tour.
Yeah.
Because these 17
tracks. Because they've got other artists who've been doing the same thing that they're doing now, like Fly Union.
Yeah.
That like Fly Union drop. They just dropped their first album like last year, but before then they were dropping like 3-track EPs called like value packs or snack packs or something.
Sure.
So 3 or 4 songs, they push those like crazy, and then like every maybe after 4 or 5 months they drop another one. You're saying Pac Div needs to be doing something like that?
Yeah, they I think they would really work that way because, you know, one of the things it's so weird. They're such an unusual group because I feel like they have no problem making music that is really commercially viable.
Nah, and it wouldn't come across as selling out or compromising or anything.
That's just a part of their whole steez, if you want to use an old phrase.
They're like the young kids, like and nowadays the kids like selling out. Yeah, I mean, like for the kids, the selling out is cool. Like for us, selling out was the last thing to do, but now that's what you're supposed to do.
We need to eradicate the word sellout because I want to tell you something.
Okay, go ahead, son.
When you turn on TV and you see a Mr. William I Am in the Beats by Dre commercial, doing his Britney Spears song, selling headphones, and you look back at where Will.i.am came from.
Right.
Sellout just doesn't even exist. It just is not even a phrase anymore. Nicki Minaj started on Underground Rap DVDs, and she's selling perfume in Macy's. There is no selling out. The selling out doesn't just mean that you're popular. If you're the only thing that is there that they're that you could conceivably do with selling out is when you, if you were to like cynically or sort of untruthfully reach for something just to be commercial, but it doesn't even work like that anymore because people aren't locked in boxes. Like people, you know, now it's just called growth.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I don't want to hear nothing about selling out anymore. Everything has totally changed. The you know, selling out, come on. I hear people talk about that still, and I feel like I'm listening to, you know, Company Flow or something. Like, it did I take a did I jump in the time machine? Like, come on.
Selling out.
Anyway.
Yeah. Don't get me started on those are the same, just never mind.
Anyway, anything else you want to say about this Pac Div album?
Nah, man, we can move on to the CD of the hour.
Yeah, the one I really want to talk about. Your man, Big Boy. So was it 2 years ago? He had an album. His first real do you consider Speaker Box a solo album from him?
No, I consider that. I think of that as an Outkast album, but I don't listen to it like an Outkast album. I treat that album very weird.
Okay. So it was what? I can't even think of the name of that.
Was it Chico Dusty?
Yeah, it was Chico Dusty, something like that. You can tell we're real prepared. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, we are so prepared for this show.
Listen, I got a lot of notes. I just didn't write down what his last album was. Sir Lucius Leftfoot, the son of Chico Dusty.
So this is his. I thought this was his third solo album. This is only his second?
Yeah, because he had that. And then this one, which is Vicious Lies and Dangerous Rumors.
Oh, I thought he had two. I thought this was his third solo album. Okay, all right.
So Big Boy is he's doing some interesting things in this album.
Yes, he is.
I want to go track by track on this.
Okay. You can go track by track. There's certain songs that I'll talk about.
Really?
Mainly the first one. Okay. And then, you know, I'll let you take the lead on that.
Okay. One thing I want to talk, so there's a really good write-up from earlier this year on complex.com when he previewed, he had 8 tracks from the album at that point. And what's interesting about it is when he had a first draft of this album that he had been working on, he played for Andre.
Really?
And Andre said, "You're going to do funk again." And sort of got, because this is how this album sounds, is not at all how this initially sounded. And Andre got Big Boy into these indie bands that are all over this record. This is as much of an Outkast album as we're going to get until they resolve this whole nonsense with their label.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this right now. I think this album is really good.
It is good.
All right. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
We're on the same page. It's very good. I didn't like it on the first listen. I listened to it today and I was like, wait a minute.
So Ascending.
Yeah, I mean, intro, whatever.
Intro. Cool. Track 2, The Thickets.
Sun.
Featuring Sleepy Brown, produced by Organized Noise.
Sun.
Tell the people about this song.
Sun. This is probably one of the best intros of the year.
Why
this song
that?
Is stupid.
The song's dope.
Stupid. I've heard Ninth Wonder flip this the same way earlier this year, and it was dope. But this is just, this is like, whoa, where is this? This is Aquemini.
Yeah.
This is even like West Savannah, Southern Playalistic ATL. No, this is ATLian's Big Boy. Like, this is vintage Big Boy, and not in a throwback kind of way, but this is like a, let me get in my bag and show these youngins I still got it. This is really dope.
There's actually a lot. Like, I'll give Big Boy credit. You know, when did Players Ball drop?
93?
19 years later, and he still raps like he's got it.
Yeah.
You can't, there's not a lot of rappers from 93 you can say that about right now. It's a small list.
Yeah.
But no, The Thickest is really dope. Apple of My Eye.
Dope.
Mr. DJ produced that.
Dope.
Feels really, like that feels really Outkast to me.
It does. This album feels like, you said it, you hit the nail on the head.
It feels Outkast. Like, but it, some of this is kind of new Outkast. Like a good example is Objectum Sexuality.
Sexuality, yeah.
With Fantagram.
This song is dope.
This is, to me, this is like right in Big Boy's lane.
Yeah.
But it's new, like, because it wasn't that when Outkast was in their prime, it wasn't that, oh, they're doing weird stuff again. It was that they were pushing at boundaries.
Yes.
Right? And
it's only in retrospect, it's what Outkast does. But when they were doing it, like, look at, like, go back and listen to ghetto music right now.
Yeah.
And that sounds like what people were doing 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And when that song came out, everybody was like, what in the world is this?
Yeah, exactly. Ghetto music. Woof.
Yeah,
that breakdown? Oh, man.
Which one? The Patti LaBelle?
The Patti LaBelle. Oh.
Yeah, the Patti LaBelle was dope.
Nah, the hook is... I love the hook on Objectum Sexuality. So the Fantagram, that band, they produced the song. Like, this is really dope.
Yeah.
And of course, track 5, In the A.
This is your favorite song right now?
This is not my favorite song right now. But this is a really dope song. This is produced by, I've never heard, like half the producers on here I've never heard of. I don't know where he found these people. Showdown, DJ Aries, and C-Bone.
I know C-Bone is Goody Mob. Or not Goody Mob. He's definitely Organized Noise.
Okay. Yeah. But nah, In the A benefits from a really clean mix.
Yeah.
T.I. sounds rejuvenated.
Yep.
And I really need, look, I know the label's having problems, so make it unofficial, but can we get Andre on the remix?
Here you go.
Right?
At this point, I'm not begging for Andre 3000 feature like
look, this like beat everybody else. This beat even got a decent appearance out of Ludacris.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, he's not bad on this.
A decent and Ludacris in 2012 is indeed Ludacris. That's not going to happen.
But so you're not as enthused about In the A?
No, not as enthused as everyone else, but I don't hate the song. I think the song is dope.
Okay.
How
do you feel about She Hates Me?
I like She Hates Me until the hook.
Oh, I like the hook.
I hate, you know, but you know,
like, you don't like Kid Cudi.
I don't like Cudi.
This was supposed to be the first single.
Yeah.
I think the hook is catchy.
No. Nah, I'm good.
Oh man. How do you feel about CPU with Fantagram?
I like CPU.
This feels like something from the Drive soundtrack. Did I ever make you listen to that?
No, but you told me to.
Oh man, you need to go on Spotify after this and go listen to, not even the whole thing. There's like, because a lot of it's just these little instrumental things from the movie, but like there's like 5 songs right up front on the soundtrack, and that's exactly what this sounds like to me. The hook on this is a possible single to me. This is dope. I like CPU a lot. Tom Petty with Little Dragon and Killer Mike.
I don't like this hook.
It's cracking me up.
I don't like that.
it feels like some, you know what it feels like? It feels like some of those tracks on Stankonia.
Yeah.
With the screwed hook and
feels like a gang. It feels like gangsta-ish.
A little bit, but not as dope as gangsta-ish. I want to get you. How do you feel about Mama Told Me?
I actually like Mama Told Me. I like it in the context of the album. I don't like it by itself.
I like it in the context of the album. I think Kelly Rowland is a mistake on this.
Mm.
She's not originally on it.
Who was originally on it?
This band Little Dragon who helps produce it.
I heard about that. People wanted that version on the album, right?
Yeah. Like to me, this is right. Like if I'm the Dream and I hear this, I get mad. This is right. This is exactly what the Dream does. This is like that pseudo Prince, you know, got the piano stabs, 80s throwback.
Very, yeah, Prince-ish, absolutely. You don't get the dream on that?
What's that?
You don't get the dream on that?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, this feels like the dream to me.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Kelly Rowland, I'm not really sure what they're doing there. My man ASAP shows up along with Fantagram on Lines.
I like this beat.
That's a weird beat.
I like it though.
And ASAP, you know.
ASAP does the ASAP. Yeah, we need to talk about ASAP after this is over.
Okay. ASAP opens it up and then Big Boy. People are flowing on this album, man.
Yeah.
There's some like rapping happening on this album.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird, man. A rap album with dope rapping. Yeah. I haven't talked much about the lyrics because, like, I think Big Boy is actually like, this is really good stuff. I like the hook on Lines. It feels funny. I know you didn't like, you probably won't like the comparison, but the singer on the hook feels like Lana. It sounds like Lana Del Rey to me.
Well, I think Lana Del Rey can sing. I just think she's depressing. Yeah, those are white. You said white people problems with guitars.
White people problems with guitars.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So, was that on? When did I reference? Oh, that was early in this podcast. All right. I was trying to get confused. I was like, did I talk about that? With
nah. That you said that about CCM. Right. You said about contemporary Christian music.
Oh man. Your man Bobby shows up on Shoes for Running, and I'm not B.O.B., not Bobby Digital. I don't want to get people excited.
B.O.B.B.
Shoes for Running featuring B.O.B. and Waves.
Yeah.
How do you feel about
this? Can I say that B.O.B. killed the Bands remix? I actually like the second Bands remix better than the one with Wayne and 2 Chainz. With Wiz and Lola Monroe and B.O.B.
Listen, I'll be honest with you. I haven't heard it. Do you know why? Because I looked at the lineup for that and I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, and I think French and the French is on it or whatever. No, see, listen to him.
I'm good.
No, at least listen to B.O.B.'s verse. He kills it. When that's my point. I don't like B.O.B. at all, but he can rap.
He's not terrible on Shoes for Running.
He's not terrible on this because he can rap. And when B.O.B. when they just tell him to rap, he can rap. He can put words together and throw conviction behind those words. He can rap. But when they ask him to do all the other stuff, nah, son.
So this is Waves on the hook for Shoes for Running. How do you feel about the hook?
Oh, excuse me.
I get it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I like the hook on Shoes for Running.
Okay.
It's catchy. I feel like this is like that's going to be used in movies and commercials.
Mm.
That's what that sounds like to me.
Like what's that one guy's name? The action guy, Jason.
Who?
He's in all the
Oh, Jason Bourne?
No, not Jason Bourne. Isn't that like Statham? Jason Statham?
Oh, yeah, Jason Statham.
Yeah. So, you know, Shoes for Running. He's running through the middle of like European streets.
No, that's not what this song sounds like at all.
And he's like breaking people's arms on the other side. I'm just saying because it's Shoes for Running.
I got it.
Sorry.
It's all good. You're not as excited about these weird indie rock hooks as I am.
Nah. That's a good way to call them. That's a good, yeah, indie rock hooks. I get that.
Raspberries.
I like this song.
This is weird.
I like this. I like Scar, though.
Yeah.
I like Scar from Morris Brown.
Yeah.
I like his voice.
It works, yeah.
Probably shouldn't say that like another man's voice.
That's okay. I mean, when we were talking on Twitter, and we were trying to set up the interview with Thizzle, and I was like, yeah, we can do a three-way on Skype.
Oh yeah.
Pause. Anyway, Raspberries is cool. It's kind of weird. I don't know.
It is weird.
Tremendous Damage.
Tremendous Damage. The song is dope.
This hook is massive. Like this can, if he puts this out as a single, this crosses over.
Wow.
This is pop. Like, this is, I mean, I'm serious. Like, people, like, the reaction I've seen online, people love this hook.
Wow.
It's totally different.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with that, but I think that song does something for him. And so the dude who sings on it, and he also produces this as well, his name is Bosco. Mm-hmm. It's basically his song.
Like what The Weeknd did with Wiz?
When you're making the beat and you're singing the hook and you got your own part you're singing, like, it starts to feel like yours, you know?
Yeah.
But no, Tremendous Damage is really, it's very, that, like, that's a white person. Like, I indulge my inner whiteness when I sing that hook, you know, like, y'all right there?
No, I'm good, man. I'm good.
So the Retail album ends with Descending featuring Little Dragon.
Yep.
So, you know, intro is ascending, this is descending. The way this album closes out, the last couple tracks, feels a lot like Stankonia in a way to me.
Yeah, like Slum Beautiful.
That's right, slows down towards the end. I think Descending is dope.
Yeah.
Then you get three bonus tracks.
I'm glad these are bonus tracks.
You get Higher Res.
Eh.
I don't really like this at all. You get Gossip with UGK and Big Crit.
Eh.
I know, this is not at all. You look at that lineup.
And you're like, wow.
Well, I sort of knew better. This is how you do that. This is a safe way to do that collaboration. Right? There's like it's very much a generic country rap beat.
Yeah, it is. It's super. That's like easy Greg Street, 107.9 Atlanta, you know. Oh, there's a UGK Big Boy. You gotta go there. You can't go, because all three of them can go weird, especially Crit and Big Boy. They can go weird and fit.
I wouldn't even say weird. I would say, considering what we've heard from Crit and considering what we've heard from what Big Boy and UGK can do, I'm thinking more like, can we please get International Players Anthem Part 2? Like that sort of beat, little sample.
Oh, okay. So you want some Crit.
Yeah.
Willie Hutch. You want him to like go into his Crit Was Here.
Yes.
DJ Paul Juicy J bag.
I do.
Gotcha.
I do. I get why it's a bonus track. It was sort of a buzz single. They put out this, or they were even just released it, whatever, earlier this summer.
Yeah.
When you have this collaboration, I guess you can't not include it on the album, but I get this actually. Okay, fine. Bonus track. Whatever. She said okay.
She said okay.
Yo, this hook is killing me. This hook is hysterical. I can't even believe this is a real hook.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I don't like it.
I feel like it's way out of place here. If you were to, you know, drag the song up into a different point in the album, if you put this right before She Hates Me, right, it sort of works. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't like it because of Theo Scissors London.
I can cut him out. That's not a big deal. I'm already thinking if I want to do a 1.5. You know.
Yeah, horrible.
Like I will remove. I said it last week. I will remove people.
You will without fear of disdain or
with great vengeance and furious anger.
Yes, absolutely. You will. That's the better term for it.
I think this album is really good. This album's in my top 10.
That was my question.
It's in my top 10. And it's really a question of how high, and I need to give that some time. I'm glad I've got a couple weeks to think about this.
Yeah.
Because I've really only given it like 4 listens.
Yeah, I think we gotta, I don't think we can do top 10 until January.
First week of January?
Yep.
That's fine, because like, to me, the thing about this album that I think I want to see, like, I feel like a lot of these hooks are going to start to really catch with people.
Mm.
This is a very hook-driven album. Mm-hmm. And but they're different hooks.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I feel like people will look back on this in one or two ways, and it just depends how you know, if it grows in you or not. I feel like people will either look back and say, yeah, that's dope, but I kind of forgot about it. Or it's going to be, man, I've been listening to this nonstop.
I got you.
I think it's just that kind of album. I think people will, this will be the sort of thing where 1 week people are all talking about one track, and then in a couple weeks now people will be like, hey man, what, you know, I feel like it's the sort of thing where, because some of these songs are so weird and different, people are going to come back and they're going to have new favorites as it goes. I'm really impressed with this. This is not at all what I expected from Big Boi.
No, it wasn't. I was expecting more funk. So I was expecting
Chico Dusty Part 2. And Chico Dusty had some really dope tracks on it.
I don't know. I didn't hear it.
You haven't heard that album?
Nope.
Oh, there's some tracks on there. But it was, you know, look, Speaker Box, I really like a lot, but that did not need to be as long as it did. Right? You could cut that in half. You know, and I felt the same way about Chico Dusty. And so I'm glad that he sort of went in a different way. I guess the only thing I'm sort of disappointed about is, you know, if you're going to make it 17 tracks, and yeah, I know the bonus, but if you're going to make it 17 tracks, I would have liked to see some of those funk tracks just, right? Like Gossip sort of takes a stab at that a little bit. It's not really funk, but, you know, it's that sort of what we used to be sort of derided as country rap, right? That sort of very guitar-based southern hip-hop. Like, aside from The Thickets, there's not really a whole lot of that on here, you know?
Yep.
How are you feeling about it? Like, is this a contender for your top 10, you think? Maybe?
I gotta listen again. I don't know, because I have a lot of albums in my... I got a lot of albums.
For me, I don't have a lot in my top, so this easily... Like, I was looking for stuff for my top 10.
Yeah. I have probably 12 or 13 albums.
But this is... But, I mean, is this better than you expected? Or?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely way better than I expected. So, shout out to Big Boi. So you wanted to
talk about ASAP.
Yeah, let's talk about ASAP and let's wrap up.
All right.
So, your man, ASAP Rocky is dropping his album. It was originally supposed to come out on Halloween.
Yep.
Got pushed back. It was just indefinite. We were hearing rumors. I think there was a rumor of another mixtape. But then out of nowhere on I think Monday, his album release date comes out and it's January 15th. And then the same day is a video for Freaking Problems.
Yep.
And you said yourself, like, what did you say when I told you about the release date? What did you say he needed to do?
He needs a mixtape.
Do you still feel that way?
I don't know what we're going to get from ASAP. So the explanation, and I think this is one of the more hysterical rapper explanations for why your album gets pushed back. Did you hear this?
No.
Here's the thing. I could see this actually being plausible. I think he could be that absent-minded right now. Honestly, the explanation was they couldn't clear samples, not because they didn't want to pay for them, because they lost track of what samples were used where. And they had to hunt stuff down.
They don't have the Pro Tools sessions?
No, like they didn't have stuff named. Like, I mean, they...
Oh, so like, they rip it off of YouTube.
I'm not saying I know how they got it, but I'm saying, like, they say, like, we lost track of where we got samples from, so we couldn't clear stuff, so we had to wait. That's either, like, incredibly, obnoxiously, arrogantly, like, untruthful, or it's hilarious. See, here's the thing. I know there's, like, Freaking Problem. Some people like it. I get that. My problem is, to me, ASAP established an aesthetic last year. He had a sound.
He did.
That sound is lost. I haven't heard that from him in a year now.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you get a budget.
But that the whole reason why people liked him was because of the beats. Like, Goldie is dope. Goldie was the perfect, like, buzz single. Buzz, like, don't single. Forget about me. Because it was kind of weird, kind of growing people. Then the video, like, people liked that. That was perfect for what it was. But, man.
They just didn't follow up with it. So, what was it? Because, to me, I like Problems, but...
That doesn't sound like an ASAP Rocky record.
It's a panic button record.
Like they've had they recorded that when they were on tour and they had to.
Yeah, they had to record that on tour, but it's like, oh my God, I have the chance to get a record. It's two things. Like, okay, you're on a tour bus. You're on tour with Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and you know 2 Chainz does a stop or whatever, and he does a record for you. I mean, what rapper in their right mind would turn that down? But is that your first single? Or is that like the, that's like the Three Kings of God Forgives I Don't, where it's like, yo, I got Jay and Dre on a record together. You don't put that out as a single. You put that out as like a buzz mix show record, because now all they're going to do is cut your verse out. They're going to just play Drake's verse and Kendrick's verse.
You know what this is?
And let that hook ride.
I want to see how the album comes out. I'm sort of afraid that he's going to do what Drake did.
With Thank Me Later?
Yeah, where Drake had a very established aesthetic.
Yeah.
And then that aesthetic showed up in parts of Thank Me Later, but he also completely ignored it for chunks of the album. And he pulled the classic, I finally made it. Now I got my collab with Jay. I got this. I got that. Right. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but I'm getting that vibe a little bit. Right. It's starting to feel like that. Like, Goldie doesn't necessarily fit into what his aesthetic was, but that's cool because it works.
Yeah.
But now you got a freaking Problem, and that, you know, apparently this is the year of the DJ Khaled type like hookups where you get the same, like, there's only 10 rappers apparently in the world, and they all just sort of they pick four names out of a hat and they go, all right, y'all are on the record. You know, I would say he needs a mixtape, but maybe I'm wrong.
It's too soon. If your album is coming out in a month, you know.
Well, that's true.
Because you end up like slaughterhousing yourself. Because Slaughterhouse put out a tape the same, like 2 days before their album leaked.
That's true.
Don't announce your album dropping a month before it drops. They should have had that January 15th date out in the streets 2 weeks after Halloween.
No, well, here's the thing. If what they're saying is true, then the reason why it's January 15th is because, I mean, look at the time. That means that they just got that everything is now cleared and they're turning the album in now. That's why they have a date.
Yeah, but it's early December.
So should he just push back totally? See, that honestly, at this point, I would actually just push back further.
Do February, March.
I would do March, April, and I would pull a God Forgives I Don't,
and just leak the album.
No, I'm not even. I mean, maybe not that to that length, but basically, right at the top of the year, you know, go hand your checkbook to Clams Casino, and get some of that blog rap buzz back that you have. Establish some of that aesthetic. Get a little bit of that back. And get some stuff going, because here's the problem. So the video drops now, even though the single leaked out a month ago plus. So is that going to carry him all the way for another 5 or 6 weeks until the album drops? Like that
record is picking up, man.
You think so? I guess. Yeah. You know what it is? My problem. I just don't like it. Like, I, you know, it's just not, for some reason, I don't like that record. Can't explain it.
Why? Is it just because it's not an ASAP Rocky record?
It just doesn't sound like an ASAP Rocky record to me.
And you hold ASAP Rocky in a different regard than I do.
Yeah, I mean I already can see right now, I'm gonna be that obnoxious fan who's like, yo, I want another record like your mixtape. Maybe that's not fair, but to me, like, I mean, maybe not even just the mixtape, like look at the videos and look at the sound of what he had before, right? Purple Swag.
That was the other one. Peso.
Peso. Like, that's what got you big.
Yeah. Pause.
That's what he's been torn off of, right?
Right.
So we'll see. I haven't heard that. I could be totally wrong. I could be totally wrong. And what we're going to get is an evolved version of that. But I don't know, this just feels really weird to have this single. Maybe it is taking off, but it just doesn't feel big to me. But I think it's just because I don't like it. But you're telling me that it's taking off.
It's starting to. I give it like another, I don't know, because again, like, when it first came out, everybody was playing it like, yo, this is dope. And then Kendrick's album leaks like the next day. And now you've got another situation where, you know, again, Trinidad James is like the dogs. So that, again, distracts everybody from your single. Mm. You know, so I don't know, man. He's got to do something else before January 15th. He's got to put out a blog record. If you can't put out a mixtape, he's got to have some sort of Clamps Casino record on the album that he can leak.
Well, you know what? Let me say this much. So, Freaking Problems is number 12 on R&B hip hop charts this week, and number 59 in the top 100.
Okay.
So, it's doing better than Birthday Song.
Oh yeah, that record. Yeah.
They tried.
They really tried.
They tried.
I forgot all about that song. They really tried with that record.
I'm Different. 2 Chainz right now. It's Birthday Song, I'm Different, and then No Lie.
No Lie is still charting?
And then on the R&B hip hop. And then Mercy right behind it.
Huh.
Dice and Pineapples. Wow, I didn't realize. Yeah, I guess people really like that My Life 50.
No. Come on. You know that's paid for, son.
27 on the Hot 100 right now.
I saw that. I don't believe it.
But you see, Click is moving up.
It's still moving up?
No, I take that back. You know what? It's been out so long. It's not moving up. It's hanging around, I should say. Hanging around. Hmm. Swimming Pools?
So yeah, I mean, I give it another month, like the lonely month of January, like that month right, that last minute scramble to have a warm body next to you for Valentine's Day. Poetic Justice is gonna totally capitalize off that.
Yeah, Poetic Justice is good for that.
Yeah, it's gonna be perfect. So Kendrick will be fine.
But I don't know, like. We'll see what it ends up being. We've talked about this before, that historically January is where major label albums go to die. Not mixtapes, not indie albums, but major label albums. You know, I don't know. I guess the encouraging sign is, rather than, because what his label could have done is said, well, look, you can't find the samples. We're just not going to clear them. You got to put something else out. So yeah. They push it back to get them, and we get samples. I mean, I guess that's not the end of the world. I don't know. I, as a fan, I need to hear something that sort of like makes me go, okay, he's on the right track still.
Because he hasn't really put anything other than that the ASAP Mob tape.
Which was wildly disappointing. And he talked about that too. He said it wasn't what he thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because he didn't really have he was probably out doing like Goldie stuff.
Yeah.
So he probably had somebody else overseeing it and they were just sending him records to do. And he's like, yeah, put it out. And then...
The records that he's on are the best, the only good records on that.
There you go.
It's not even close. Like the rest, like, but yeah, I would just say for his fans, well, we'll see how the lead up goes. We'll see if he does the traditional rapper thing where we're gonna hear like 6 tracks between now and the album leaking.
Right? You think so?
I hope not.
Leak everything.
I hope not. But I will say, I will say that if he has a track that sort of somewhat feels like, you know, Peso, Purple Swag, or something like that, you know, a couple weeks before the album comes out, you might want to let that go.
Maybe he's just not there anymore. Maybe he's not that guy. Maybe he got Hollywood. Maybe he saw the lights, flashing lights.
You see him on the cover of Complex?
Nah, this month?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't see that.
Dude's looking like he went real Hollywood.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, since last year when we first really heard him, he was talking about all these fashion labels. Yeah, now he's really wearing it. Like, you know, he's really gone there. So good for him, but like, you know, give me my Clamps Casino beats, man. I want to hear my cloud rap again. I need some real fuzzy Enya samples, and you know, I need that, man. Come on.
Let's make it.
Let's make it.
Yeah, let's just make it. So that'd be 574.
574.
You got anything else you want to talk about, man?
Nah, man. So, you know, we talked about it enough this week, but already. But next week, we're going to talk about Game's album. We're going to talk about this Bruno Mars album.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll have other random...
Jeezy, 12, 12, 12.
Perfect. Jeezy so, 12, 12, 12. Well, actually, we...
No, you're right, because we'll probably...
Yeah. But that's all right. That'll be something for later. But I call... So, actually, I do want to... I'm going to pat myself on the back. I knew a rapper would do something on 12, 12, 12.
And, there's no way.
And I called the Dream Beyonce thing.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we didn't talk about Drake's OVO signing. We didn't talk about Nipsey Hussle going to MMG.
Nipsey Hussle's officially on MMG?
Yep. They're announcing it. I heard they're supposed to announce it tomorrow.
Do we get a press conference?
You know what? I hope so. If they did a press conference for Omarion, they better do. Hey, and Omarion's mixtape is dope, too.
I haven't even heard that yet.
It's dope.
I got too much music to listen to, man.
Way too much music. That's why I didn't even bring it up for this show. Do we get it? I got to go back to Grantland and read that again.
That is hysterical.
That was one of the best. And I follow him on Twitter, and he is definitely satisfying my timeline.
Pause.
Just in case.
So wait, what were you saying about Drake?
He signed OVO to Warner.
Oh, and I hear he's going to have Little JoJo.
Yeah, JoJo's supposed to rumored to be the first artist that he's signing. I haven't heard her since Get Out. I heard she did like some remixes to his songs, but I haven't heard her music. I know she got a 40 record.
No, we're not that Little JoJo.
No, yeah, the white girl JoJo.
No, the Chicago rapper.
No, he's dead, isn't he?
Oh, you're right. Not that one.
JoJo's the one who got JoJo's the one who got killed. You thinking of Lil Mouse?
I was thinking Lil JoJo. No, wait. Wait. I'm sorry. I need to Google this real quick. I sound ignorant. You're telling me that the white girl is who he's gonna sign?
Yeah. You thought I was come on.
Look, I mean,
if you are going to launch your record label with a Chicago rapper, nobody's gonna care about any of those dudes this time next year. Although I am curious to see what this Chief Keef album does. It's not going to do much, but I'm just curious.
Man, if that's the case, then she's going, he's going real pop then.
Yeah. They're going to do like this murky, like 40's going to do like this murky, safe R&B poppy thing.
Wait a minute. Do you know who? Nah. This is funny because you know who she signed to now?
I thought she wasn't signed. Who she signed to?
Blackground.
Really?
Uh-huh. With Interscope.
I thought she got dropped from Interscope.
That's what it says in the bottom of the website.
Huh.
I don't know. That'd be real funny. Well, it'd be funny if she got dropped from Blackground because with everything that was happening with the Aaliyah project and Drake.
Oh, yeah. That thing. Remember that?
Oh, man. But you know what? I forgot. I forgot that JoJo did that thing with Marvin's Room.
Yeah.
JoJo.
Yeah.
I mean, she's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot. I'm thinking like, really? He's going to do a Chicago rapper? No, you're right though. Yeah, that dude's dead. Oh, man. JoJo. That's not what I would expect at all. I think it's interesting that's on Warner.
I don't think so. It's probably an MMG move. You know, I think, you know, Ross probably put in a good word.
He didn't want to make any more money with Baby?
I don't remember that. Hey, what was supposed to? Are you talking about Drake?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Ross.
No.
You remember that Ross and Birdman album?
What happened to the Ross and Diddy album?
I don't know, but they missed that Bugatti Boys boat because that would have been tough.
That could have filled in some of that gap earlier this year.
Yeah, that. Pause. I mean, every song they dropped. Yeah, that was good
catch. It's getting that time of night. Armand and I, we're just getting tired.
Yeah,
Bugatti one. Boys, they totally. I mean, I know you just want, you know, those, you want Puff to open the pocketbook, get those expensive high class.
You know he's sitting. Beats. You know he isn't. You know he's sitting on some crazy beats. Some crazy, like, old classic MMG lavish rich off cocaine type joints. He's basically sitting on like some American Gangster throwaways that Sean C and LV are probably sitting on, or probably just gave to him and he's not touching that they can use. So I don't know. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't go cat. I think that kind of confirms the rumors of all that stuff, right? From earlier this year.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, you know.
Because you'd assume that OVO would obviously stay with Cash Money. And I'm hearing that, you know, the reason why he didn't sign The Weeknd is they're not really like cool like that anymore.
Hmm. That's interesting. So
that's why you don't hear him say OVO XO on OVO.
Hmm. That's too bad. All right, man. Is there anything else we need to cover this week?
Nah, we can go ahead and shut it down, B.
All right. So
two episodes, man.
We got two episodes this week. Obviously, the one you listened to. We also interviewed, I will simply say, rapper Fizzle.
Yeah.
Out of St. Louis. Independent rapper. We talked a lot of good stuff, man, about what it's like to be an independent artist, a real independent artist selling your music online, what it's like dealing with iTunes and Amazon and everything else. Real good conversation. Check that out on the site, clackradiospeakers.com. Rate and review us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Use the hashtag #ClackRadioSpeakers when you want to talk about it on Twitter.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say, man?
Nah, man. Just thank you guys for tuning in to both episodes, you know.
And
we'll see you guys next week.